Hey guys, I wanted to come on personally and tell you about this amazing podcast. I've done over 700 podcasts over the last 5+ years. This one is special. This gentleman is named Gordon Kaplan. He's become a good friend over the last couple of years. And the reason it's special is it's tied to that story everybody heard about, unless you were living under a rock, Varsity Blues scandal. What happened there? Well, a bunch of parents got excited, probably like we have as parents for the last 100 years and we're going to do for the next 100 years. We got excited about getting our kids into a good college. And Gordon, famous lawyer, top of his game. I mean, he was the chairman of the board, number one deal maker in the United States, extremely wealthy, great family. He crossed over the line. He knew what was right and what was wrong, probably better than any of us. But he stepped over the line for his child. And he paid the price. He ended up in jail. Like I said, he lost his law firm. His entire life was gone. There are moments he'll tell you where he didn't know how to continue. And so this is a special podcast for me because I'm a parent. I've got 4 kids. I would do anything for my children, as I know you would. I have a book coming out on parenting in 4 weeks. And I'm saying to myself, gee, did I get it right in the book? Because there's a lot of things I didn't consider after doing this podcast with Gordon. Gordon could have went anywhere. He could have been on 60 Minutes with this story. But because the Spartan community is so strong, so forgiving, because we teach resilience, we teach how to bounce back, he said, Joe, I want to come on Spartan Up. And so there's going to be a 2-part series. The guy's unbelievable. He taught me a ton. I hope you get as much out of this as I did. And let's be better parents. Let's be better humans. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
All right, Joe DeSena here, CEO and founder of Spartan. We got the Spartan Up podcast. We got a special one for you today. This might be our best podcast ever. I got Gordon Kaplan, a buddy of mine. We're on the farm in Vermont. And for any of you, you'd have to be living under a rock if you didn't know about this college admission scandal. What was it, about a year ago, Gordon?
No, it was March 2019.
March 2019. Some people called it Varsity Blues scandal. Was it a scandal?
Yeah, that was the name the prosecutors put on it.
And basically a bunch of folks did what any parent would do, did for the last 150 years, still does today.
I disagree with that.
But I mean, any parent wants the best for their kid. And any parent out there, if they had to go meet someone for dinner at some university somewhere with the hopes that 5 years from now they can get their kid into school, they would. From the little bit I know about the scandal, we're going to get into it. A bunch of folks went beyond having dinner or getting to know some people.
Yeah, it went well beyond that.
And shocker, my buddy Gordon here was at the center of the whole thing.
I was, unfortunately, to my eternal regret.
Yeah, and so if that broke news in March 2019, when did you get sucked into this whole thing?
When did I get sucked into it?
When did you find it? When did it enter your life?
So. Look, first I want to preface this by, I wasn't sucked in. I made a decision, and it was the worst decision and most idiotic decision I could conceivably have made. No excuse. But I met the ringleader of this thing, of this scam, a guy named Rick Singer, in the late summer of 2018.
So about a year before the story broke. So, you meet this guy, and you're thinking to yourself, like any dad or any mom would, and I'm not making light of this at all, right? But you fucked up clearly, and you admit it.
Yep.
It's intriguing, I think, as a parent, any parent, right, to say, oh, we got an in. In the neighborhood I come from, you got a guy.
Right? Yep.
We got a guy.
Yeah.
So you find out that somebody's got a guy that might be able to help get kids into school. You're interested.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of guys, and there's still a lot of guys and gals out there selling, or at least saying that they're selling special access, special means, whether it's access or means to massage an application to help a child get into college, a college of their choice. I ran into this, was not looking for it, because I met a lot of those people. I had a kid applying to college, and the kid I had applying to college was my first applying to college, and she was a tournament-level athlete, and there was all that kind of recruiting stuff going on. And through that world, I met a number of these college counselor types. They were all selling something different. It was on a spectrum of, you know, everything from test prep to tutoring to writing essays to changing the application to changing the kid in a lot of ways, or the profile of the kid.
Changing the kid like we do at Spartan, where you're going to work on the kid?
There's a difference. There was a little of that, but I was, and this wasn't just once, at least one told me to suggest that my kid was not of the same sexuality that she actually was, for instance. Another one suggested that she drop the sport that she had been playing since she was five. Wow. So to literally change the kid from a profile, not change the kid. What you do at Spartan is you change the kids, or you try to change the kids to make them better. What these counselors do is change the profile of the kid in order to make them look a certain way for an audience, college admissions people at colleges.
But
it's totally different thing.
Just superficial, like change the documents and the photos, or actually, like, how far would
change
they...
Change the profile.
Change your profile.
Create a profile.
Right.
They should be focusing on this in school, or despite what they had focused on before. They should take courses in that. They should...
So if the kid's playing baseball, stop baseball. We got your
stop baseball, and I'm just using a sport. Stop baseball. Another good sport would be, like, lacrosse. That's too rich. Try a sport more like basketball. Or track and field, because that will resonate better with the people. Their real audience is, they're selling to two audiences. First, to the parents who are nervous and looking for answers and in a very competitive market and don't really know. And I certainly didn't know, and assumed a lot of knowledge that I didn't have. And that's their first audience. Then they make that sale. Then the next sale is taking that profile of a child and selling them to different college admissions people at different colleges.
Your kid's going to look better if he or she played basketball rather than lacrosse.
Or have a different sexuality. Or have a different set of interests.
Like, in other words, let's just rip the... Like, they're lesbian and not... Like,
correct.
Wow.
They'd
go that far.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's appealing to the college admissions, potentially.
The suggestion was that it was appealing. I frankly have no direct knowledge that it's appealing or not appealing. I was taking this as incoming. I was incoming and reaching out. I wasn't an innocent in this. I was looking for help. And as a lot of parents, especially affluent parents, do, you run around chasing for stuff. Oh, maybe this is the best person to do it, or maybe that's the best person to do it. And you ask your friends, where do you get the, you know, you could Google it, but really, what's our connections? We talk to our friends, and everybody I met came through a friend or an acquaintance. And the theme was, again, on a spectrum of stuff, which was everything from traditional test prep to, we'll write the essay. I had one guy, a counselor, read to me an essay that, with my daughter on the line, that he clearly wrote. And he was saying, he clearly wrote it. And he was attributing it to, well, this is what the applicant put in. Let me tell you how great it is. the only reason why he was reading it to me is because he wrote it. He wanted to show us what he could do. So it's an industry. And it
still exists.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Even after the whole scandal, it still goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the guy I met, and I met him through another guy who was helping us, was more in the recruiting world for college admissions for recruited athletes or athletes that could be recruited. So it's like a whole, right? There's doctors and then there's specialists and there's endocrinologists and orthopedists. He had a special niche in focusing on supposedly recruited athletes. And he came from a world that with credentials that was involved in that. Checked out all the credentials, came very highly recommended.
This is the guy Singer.
This is Rick Singer. And he had been doing it for many, many, many years. And I spoke to a bunch of people about it, including through different contexts, some of the people that ultimately got caught up in the scandal, including some of the coaches. At one point, this is what ultimately sealed the deal for me. He introduced me to one of the most senior women in college athletics, a woman named Donna Heinel. And he just said, you're going to go to USC and you and your daughter. My daughter was in high school. She wasn't even ready to apply yet. Just getting ready. You're going to meet Donna Heinel, who I had known of. She was, I think, the second in command of the athletic department at USC. And my daughter was an athlete. I mean, I was overwhelmed and impressed. And I think I'm a pretty skeptical guy. I don't think I was easily impressed. I was totally impressed. She came down and greeted us and made us feel special. I didn't know. I should have known. I should have at least smelt it that she was, as has been alleged, and she's been arrested in it as well, on the take. So it was all part of the scam. And he had been doing this for years. I was just the unlucky schmuck to come in as the last one. Yeah, and so, I was literally the last
so
one.
So morally wrong, ethically wrong, right? Totally. The whole thing's wrong. You recognize it now, but...
I recognized it then.
You recognized it then.
I paid... It's all out in the open. It's public. Yeah. I paid Rick Singer to pay somebody to change answers on my child's ACT exam after the fact, after she took it, to change some of the answers so that she would get a better score.
And with the hope of getting in any school she wanted?
With the hope of taking that off the table for her, because she was a terrific athlete, terrific student, it seemed like a way to take something off the table. I don't know how else to say it. Look, any logic I put behind it now is idiotic, because there was no logic behind it. I was in panic mode for something I didn't have to panic over. Maybe this should be the conclusion, but I'll lead with the conclusion here. None of this shit is worth it. Nothing's that important. Nothing at all. All the college stuff, and my friends and people that I know that have teenage kids, they get themselves all revved up. I got myself all revved up. It's not that important. They'll find a college. They'll be fine. If it's a good kid and they get a good head on their shoulders, like, thank God my kids are, they don't need any of this crap. This is all about the parents. It's not about the kid. And that took me a long time to figure out. I was too stupid to figure it out at the time. I wish I'll never forgive myself for being that stupid. But it had nothing to do with my kids. It had everything to do with me.
Yeah, because the kids weren't going to any of the parents. The Lori Loughlin, go down the list of people that got caught up and busted when you got busted. I can't imagine the kids were going, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, can you help me with my ACT scores here, get me a better grade? Are they?
So it's been portrayed as one big, massive conspiracy with, I think, 57 parents involved, plus coaches and administrators, including the head tennis coach at Georgetown, the head tennis coach at UT, the head soccer coach at Yale, coaches at USC and at Stanford. It's been claimed as one big conspiracy. I have no idea what was going through the heads of any of the other parents. I never knew any of them. I had never even heard of Lori Loughlin. I had heard of Felicity Huffman because I think she won an Academy Award or something. I'd never heard of Lori Loughlin. I can't even remember the name of the show that she was on with the two twins. It'll come to me. So I don't know what they were thinking. All I could say is what I was thinking. Actually, I don't even think I've spoken to any of the parents since that I could remember. So there was no conspiracy that I was aware of among the parents. And most of this was coming out of the West Coast. I live on the East Coast. So I don't really know what was going through their heads. What I know what was going on was through my head, which is I felt, although it wasn't true, that my kid was under enormous amount of pressure between the sport that she was, I thought, killing herself at. And it's a tough sport out there alone, really no coach, traveling all over the country. Doing school, doing well in school at the same time. And this test, which I got to tell you, I was never a great standardized test taker either, was sort of an impediment. And I had built a career on ethically and legally moving people through impediments. And I saw an impediment and I stepped over the line and tried to move my own family member for myself, not for her, through an impediment that I perceived. The truth is, it wasn't an impediment for her. She would have done fine without it, or she wouldn't have, whatever. And she wanted to choose her own school anyway.
We have, you don't know it, we have a book coming out, 10 Rules of Resilience. And it's a guide for parents, for families to be more resilient, to be tougher. And I would argue in the book, and you'll prove it, I think, here, our job is actually to put more obstacles in front of them, not take any away.
I actually agree with that, but I agree with it a bit too late. I mean, look, I'll go back. I screwed up. I really screwed up. I thought my job was to make their lives better and easier, at the same time to see them challenged. Not challenged by me, but challenged. And I can assure you that despite what's said and everything else, for a whole host of personal reasons and her own growth through a very, what I think is a very tough sport, at least physically and mentally, she was challenged. I didn't see this as, oh, she needs another challenge. I saw this as a impediment more than a challenge. It's like, this is, but it almost doesn't matter. It was just, it was panic mode, and it was panic mode that lasted. And people say, well, you made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I made a mistake over a period of time, and I compounded the mistake. And I see it in other parents. Parents, talk to me now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Are parents still doing it? Are parents still making it? We make that mistake every day as parents, don't we? Like, I love what you're saying. I'm sorry I keep interrupting.
But no, please.
I love what you're saying, this idea of it's about the parent. So we're making the mistake as parents because maybe we believe that's what makes us better. If our kid is in a better school, if our kid has a little bit better score at a tennis match,
yeah.
Right? But like, it's about the kid, not about us.
Yeah. Tell that to the parents sitting in the bleachers watching their kid who's been practicing for months. It's true intellectually. And maybe this is just the way we've evolved. It's just not true in your gut, right? It is absolutely about the kid. But I sat through untold numbers of matches and tournaments, and I was jumping out of my seat every time just to physically, you just, you know, the ref is wrong, the other player's cheating, your kid's not doing what they were trained to do, and you don't realize you're just a freaking spectator. You're lucky to be there. So, yes, it took me a long time. And it wasn't like I realized it right away on the day of the arrest. But it took me a long time to realize that this was not about the kid. It wasn't about... A lot has been written, a lot of people have said, and even in their statements to the courts, they say, well, I was trying to help my kid. I love my kid. I love no one more. All that's true. But especially all parents wear their kids' achievements as partially their own achievements. We love to be proud. And our kids love to, a lot of kids love to get that pride from their parent. That's not why you should be proud of your kid. Those are just, it's ephemeral bullshit. And I wasn't smart enough to get that.
Right. I mean, if the kid's healthy, right? Like, well, here on the farm this morning, I was telling you a story of a little kid.
Yeah, I just saw 10 kids. It's just amazing.
Right? Danny's got a feeding tube in his stomach, 12 years old. And this morning, early morning, to give you guys a visual that are just listening, we're up on the mountain. They've already been working for 2 hours. They've been in an ice-cold pond. They're getting screamed at by a mountain warfare guy. They don't even know. They're shell-shocked. And I say to the kids, what do you do when you don't want to do something?
We'll be right back to this interview, but first a message from today's sponsor, Durolane. You know that knee pain can really slow you down. Sometimes that knee pain is due to osteoarthritis, a disease that affects some 14 million Americans. Learn about osteoarthritis knee pain and how to alleviate it at oaknepainrelief.com. You'll find information there about non-surgical, non-opioid treatments for osteoarthritis knee pain that may help delay the need for knee surgery. One treatment you'll find there is Durolane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months of relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. It's indicated for the treatment of mild to moderate osteoarthritis knee pain when conservative treatments have not worked. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. Full prescribing information is at Durolane.com. Spartans say no to limits. You can learn more at oaknepainrelief.com. That's oaknepainrelief.com.
One more thing. We have pulled together some of the most powerful moments in Spartan Up podcast history, and we've put them all together on one page. You can find it at spartan.com/toughbible.
Okay, back to the interview.
This morning, early morning, to give you guys a visual that are just listening, we're up on the mountain. They've already been working for 2 hours. They've been in an ice-cold pond. They're getting screamed at by a mountain warfare guy. They don't even know. They're shell-shocked. And I say to the kids, what do you do when you don't want to do something? And this little kid that I'm describing with the feeding tube steps forward and says, you do it anyway, sir. I said,
yeah,
really?
So I just met this kid. He's like 4'5" or nothing. I mean, it's just teeny, but you could tell built and an unbelievable attitude. And I know my daughter would be the same way. She didn't ask for any of this. Right? She didn't ask for any of it. She would have been the kid, I think, who would say that to you, because I saw her do that, just practicing over and over and over again and really killing herself to develop a set of skills. She didn't need that for me to remove that impediment. You're right. The obstacles made her better.
Well, you just got me thinking, right? Like when you think about Michael Phelps' coach, when you read that story, the coach would purposely, for like 5 or 6 years before the Olympics, the first Olympics for him, would break his goggles without Michael knowing, or would take his bag and like take stuff out of it so that when he went on his trip, he was like confused, couldn't find the stuff. He would screw up flight tickets because he felt like we've got everything going for us, like you're describing your daughter. Right. What we need now is the ability to fight through in the Olympics when right. everything goes wrong. Your goggles right. break in the Olympics.
Right. Right.
And so that's probably our job, but like you said, it's not instinctual.
No, it's counterintuitive and counterinstinctual.
Yeah.
I mean, everything in us. I went to tournaments where I saw parents get into fistfights. I saw my daughter walk off a court once where the other kid, good kid, played her heart out, lost, and said to somebody who said to her, good match, the kid, probably 13, said, fuck you.
Wow.
Because under so much pressure. Not because
wow.
the kid was nefarious or bad or anything.
Wow.
So everything in us wants to help. And I wasn't, you don't come to this job as a parent trained. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I showed it. And
had I had the book back then, oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, why are you writing it now?
I know. What does matter?
That they're good people. What you're doing here for the kids walking up the mountain is fantastic. But at the end of it, if they come down the mountain and they're assholes, they're still assholes.
Right.
I mean, maybe they could carry more stuff and have more resiliency, but they're still not good people. I don't think that's the case. All the kids I met seem great.
What really
matters is that you bring up good people who want to be value add and helpful and not hurt other people. And that's what matters.
I want, Marion, I want you to cut in Frank.
Joe's talking about Frank McKinney. He's working with film director Thomas Morgan on a film called Scrum that features Frank's work with the rugby program. Look for Joe's full interview with both of them in early October on Spartan Up.
But really, and he talks about this in the movie, you know, I'm looking for three things. Good citizen, good in the classroom, good on the field.
He's a rugby coach in a really high-end school, $56,000 a year. But not far away from really tough neighborhoods, and
right.
they want more diversity. So he brings in kids that, you know, would never have an opportunity,
right.
never played rugby before or whatever. And I said, Frank, what are you looking for? And he said, first and foremost, good citizen. So to your point, you want them to be good people.
Yeah. So again, I put achievement above everything else. And I've said this before, but I think achievement's a drug. It really is. And I definitely used it as a drug. So it's the more you get, the more you need. And the high lasts for shorter and shorter periods of time. So just like heroin, yeah, you get a little bit of achievement, you want more achievement. And that's all I was shooting for. And you turn your kids into subsidiaries of your achievement, right? And I lost sight of that the only real achievement with the kids is that they're good human beings. And maybe they'll become CEO or president, or maybe they'll work at a fast food restaurant. But are they reasonably happy? Reasonably, no one's happy all the time. Reasonably happy and good people who are working reasonably hard. They don't have to necessarily kill themselves. Us Americans love to kill ourselves. They don't have to kill themselves, but get up every day, add value, are good to the people around them, hopefully create a good family for themselves. That's it. And I had to go to freaking jail to figure that out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about jail. But I love the way I love the idea that our kids are like subsidiaries of
well, I'm a corporate lawyer by training.
I love that because we're hooked on achievement, and it could really run away from itself and cases in sport, especially where, you know, folks get caught doping or what, right? Like, and so what's interesting there for me is, I think about Lance, he'll hate me again for this, but that happened multiple times over and over and over. So that drug, right? The next Tour de France, the next one, I guess until you get caught, you keep feeding the beast. So, you went completely backwards. Here you were looking to remove an impediment using your words. You now end up in a situation. I can't even imagine, and I don't think anybody listening or watching could imagine the impact it has on your relationship with your daughter. And
yep.
then does it set her 10 years back?
Yep. Yep.
Right? And you were looking to put her 10 years forward.
Well, I wasn't looking to put her 10 years forward or 10 minutes forward. I was looking at a very specific issue and dealing with it in a way that I frankly thought was dealt with a lot.
Doesn't make it right.
No excuse. Doesn't make it right at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many times people do corrupt things. Look, what compounds it is I was a lawyer, and I was a lawyer at the very top end. I was co-chairman of a major law firm. Had a massive practice, loved what I did, transactional work, and I knew better. I knew much better. There's no excuse for this. And it damaged my daughter. She didn't need it. She didn't want it. She didn't ask for it. She didn't know that it had any of it going on. And she gets subjected to this. And it took me a while to figure this out. But to your question, and to my earlier point, this is how I know maybe in a way I was successful in raising a good kid, because I called her right as I got out on bail. I was in a courthouse, in a jail cell in the courthouse. She was my first or second call right afterwards. She went into hiding, and I called her on her cell, and I'm crying, and I said, "Sweetheart, I'm so sorry. I'm crying." And she said to me, "Dad, it's okay. It's not your fault." It was my fault. But her first instinct was to make me feel better. Sorry. That's when I knew, in retrospect, that I had done a good job with that kid.
You got a winner.
Yeah.
You got a winner.
I screwed up. She didn't.
Come back next Tuesday to hear the second half of this conversation. If you've ever felt like things were hopeless, that you made a mistake you could not recover from, you'll want to listen to part two of this interview. And then take a second and let us know in the comments or on Instagram at @RealJoeDeSena. What is your greatest parenting question? What's your greatest parenting mistake? What's your greatest parenting wish?
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.